Bibles, I invite you to turn to the book of 2 Peter, 2 Peter chapter 1. And as we have been going through this letter of Peter's, what we find in the passage of Scripture we're looking at today, that this is Peter's final written testimony. It tells us about his last words that he desired for even us to hear, and believers back in that day and time. And what he wanted them to hear is something they already heard. In other words, he was going to repeat some things. If you ever hear me repeat something, it's because I'm trying to put an emphasis on something, and I want you to be in memory of it. You know what? If you do not repeat certain things, you're apt to forget certain things. That's why we have the Lord's Supper. That's why you will hear the gospel repeated over and over again, which we should never tire of, is because that is the emphasis we at New Life Baptist Church we want to emphasize. But to hear what Peter's doing, Peter says they know what he's going to say. They're even established in that which he's going to say. It is important, listen very carefully, it is important that you hold to sound doctrine. Never grow weary in hearing sound teaching. There are so many voices in this world today that are leading people astray. If you do not have a firm foundation upon the Word of God, let me tell you something, you're going to be tossed about with every wind and slate of doctrine. If you do not have the Word of God as a foundation, you will be listening to the world and listening to the ways of the world and going with the thoughts of the world, which lead to death. Let me give you an illustration. It's been years ago. I know a pastor who literally changed his doctrine in the middle of his ministry. This pastor who changed his doctrine had become the pastor of this church in agreement with the church's doctrine. The doctrine that he changed was on the Lord's Supper. Now, we believe in closed communion. This church I'm mentioning believed in closed communion. The pastor changed his mind, and I had someone call me after they had a business meeting concerning this big fiasco, because you have a pastor who says, we're going to change the way we believe about something. You're going to have division. You're going to have problems within a church. This pastor, concerning the Lord's Supper, wanted communion to be more open to believers, each and every believer. The man who called me, and I talked to him about 2 hours on the phone after that meeting in the church on a Sunday, when I explained to him our stand on closed communion, what he told me the pastor's defense was, if he continued to practice closed communion, his mother would never be able to have communion with him again. Now you think about that. He could not partake the Lord's Supper with his mother as long as she belonged to another church. Now the pastor's reasoning was based on emotion. It was not based upon the Word of God. It was based upon a familial love. When you stray from the Word of God, you're starting down a slippery slope. What that led that pastor to, he started believing in two different definitions of the Lord's church. Literally what he changed his mind to was that because the Lord's Supper would be open to all believers, that means the Lord had his kind of church, but he also had an invisible church. Now, you know what? If the Lord started two different kinds of churches, I don't find that in Scripture. In other words, what people do when they become loose with doctrine, they have to change Scripture or go outside of Scripture to try to make their doctrine acceptable. This, no doubt, caused the church split. Members were divided. And out of that church split, there was another church started. Some held to the traditional teaching of the doctrine of close communion. Some went the opposite direction. I want you to think with me tonight, or this morning. We might be here till tonight. If we're talking doctrine, there's a lot of doctrine here to talk about. I don't want to pick on one pastor or one person or one doctrine. What I'm simply saying, Peter has a word to say. And what he is saying in this passage of Scripture, he's repeating because he wants them to continue in the faith. When the church I mentioned split, I know members of that church that went to other kinds of churches. Other kinds of churches that taught other doctrines. In other words, if you're not rooted and grounded in the Word of God and in the teachings of the Word of God, what would happen if you went and looked for another church? Let me tell you something that some people actually do, because I've experienced this when I was a youth minister. There were many people who joined the church I was at one time because of the youth ministry. In other words, the sole principle of joining the church where I was a youth minister was because of the youth ministry. Nothing to do with the teaching, nothing to do with the doctrine. There are some people I know that joined other churches simply because of the music. It was good music. It was upbeat music. It was had a good tune. You know what? You can find that at a concert. You can find fellowship with other young people at a basketball game. There are some people that join different churches. And let me tell you about an announcement I just saw this past week. We want you to come on Sunday because we're going to have food, fun, and games. You know what? There are people that are gullible to that, and they come because of the food and the fun and the games. There are some churches I know that play secular music just to draw people in. Let me tell you something. We're going to stand on the Word of God. We've got to be rooted and grounded in the truth of the Word of God. Because if you're not, you're going to be tossed about by every teaching of mankind. I don't know if anybody's like me, but I'm getting to the point in my age where my forgetter's working good. I think some of y'all have got that forgetfulness disease too. Sometimes mine peaks. Mine was peaking this morning. Couldn't think of the simplest things for whatever reason, coming off a headache, you know, different things. But we often, we too often forget what we need to remember. And we too often remember what we need to forget. What Peter does here, he wants to bring them to remembrance, is the word he uses. I want you to notice in verse 12, the Word of God starts out with, wherefore. Some versions will say therefore. Whether it's wherefore or therefore, you always look before to see what it's there for. Wherefore? Peter writes because of what he's written before. What did he write before? In verses 3 through 11, what we see in God's Word is Peter presents the gospel, and then he presents how we ought to be living godly lives. Peter accepts the responsibility to put them in remembrance. Now, why does he want to continue to put them in remembrance? Because the Word of God tells us he's coming to the end of his life. And because he's coming to the end of his life, he's going to pass away, and he wants the believers to continue in the faith. He wants them to stay on course. What happens if a church does not stay on course? It gets off in doctrine, and it becomes a mess. I want you to notice what Peter says here in verse 12. Wherefore, I will not be negligent. Peter accepts this responsibility. I'm not going to be negligent to put you always in remembrance of these things. I want you to notice the things he's talking about. He talks about the gospel. He says, according to his divine power in verse 3, has given to us all things that pertain unto life and godliness through the knowledge of him that hath called us to glory and virtue, whereby are given unto us exceeding great and precious promises, that by these you might be partakers of the divine nature, having escaped the corruption that is in the world through lust. And then he says, besides all this, we need to give all diligence to add to our faith virtue, and to virtue knowledge, and to knowledge temperance, and to temperance patience, and to patience godliness, and to godliness brotherly kindness, and to brotherly kindness charity or agape love. Because, he says, if these things be in you, and they abound in you, they make you that you shall neither be barren nor unfruitful in the knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. But if you lack these things, the person that lacks these qualities is blind and cannot see afar off. He's forgotten that he's been purged from his old sins. Wherefore, the rather, brethren, give diligence to make your calling and election sure. For if you do these things, you shall never fall. And for so an abundance shall be ministered unto you abundantly into the everlasting kingdom of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Peter says, I'm not going to be negligent in reminding you of these things always, though you know them. And then notice what he says, and you be established in the present truth. I want you to notice that word established. What this word simply means, it's a word that our Lord used with Peter. Back in the young days when Peter was walking with the Lord. The word, the Greek word, is stairizo. I want you to notice where this word is found. Look back in the Gospel according to Luke, chapter 22. In Luke, the 22nd chapter, I want you to notice what it says in verse 31. Luke 22 and verse 31, the Word of God tells us, and the Lord said, Simon, Simon, behold, Satan has desired to have you, that he may sift you as wheat, but I have prayed for you, that your faith fail not, and when you are converted, strengthen, stairizo, your brethren. The Lord gave specific instructions to Peter to strengthen the brethren. Peter looks at the Lord and he says unto him, Lord, I'm ready to go with you both into prison and to death. Our Lord said, I tell you, Peter, the cock shall not crow this day before that thou shalt thrice deny that thou knowest me. Look over in Matthew chapter 26. Matthew's gospel, the 26th chapter. In Matthew chapter 26, all the way down in verse 69. Verse 69, now Peter sat without in the palace, and a damsel came unto him, saying, thou also wast with Jesus of Galilee. But he denied before them all, saying, I know not what thou sayest. When he was gone out into the porch, another maid saw him and said unto them that were there, this fellow was also with Jesus of Nazareth. Again he denied with an oath, I do not know the man. And after a while came unto him they that stood by and said to Peter, surely you also are one of them, for thy speech bewrayeth thee, or betrays you. Then he began to curse and to swear, saying, I know not the man. And immediately the cock crew. And Peter remembered the word of Jesus, which said unto him, before the cock crow, thou shalt deny me thrice. And he went out and wept bitterly. In the gospel according to John, in the 21st chapter, what we see is our Lord restoring Peter. In verse 15, we read in God's word, so when they had dined, Jesus said to Simon Peter, Simon, son of Jonas, lovest thou me more than these? And he saith unto him, yea, Lord, thou knowest that I love thee. He said unto him, feed my lambs. He said to him again, Simon, son of Jonas, lovest thou me, agapeo me? He saith unto him, yea, Lord, you know that I phileo you. I love you with a friendly love. Jesus said unto him, feed my sheep. He saith unto him the third time, Simon, son of Jonas, lovest thou me? Phileo, do you phileo me? A brotherly love me. Simon, son of Jonas, do you love me? Peter was grieved because he said unto him the third time, lovest thou me? And he said unto him, Lord, you know all things. You know that I phileo you. And Jesus said unto him, feed my sheep. Peter's responsibility when he fell, he was told by our Lord, I've prayed for you that you will not completely fall away. And he didn't. He fell. The Lord said, when you're restored, I want you to strengthen, stay rezo, your brethren. Here, as Peter's coming to a close in his life, he says, I'm not going to be negligent in putting you into remembrance always of these things. Though you know them and you're established a rezo in this present truth. You can see the opposite of this word, sterizo, over in chapter 2 and verse 14. In 2 Peter, it talks about people who are unstable. Peter's desire was that believers would be stable, stand firm, to be steadfast, to be strengthened in the truth of God's word. I want you to notice, in verses 12 through 15, he puts the word remembrance three different times. He mentions remembrance, remembrance, remembrance. That means bringing it back to your memory. Now, as I said, my forgetfulness is working overtime. I'm going to work on that. What is a memory? You ever thought what a memory was? Let me give you some interesting facts about your memory. Your memory starts 20 weeks after you are conceived. In other words, in your mother's womb, your memory starts. That's fascinating to me. Let me tell you, taking a child from a mother's womb and killing it is murder. Memory starts within the mother's womb. Your brain's storage capacity is virtually limitless. That's amazing. Caffeine, that cup of coffee, it does not help your memory, it only helps you being more alert. There's a difference there. So you think you drink more coffee, you'll get more memory. It don't work that way. You just get more hyper. Sleep is very significant to your memory. Now, I do not advise you to start sleeping, right? I'm not giving you permission, so your memory will be better right now. You can do that later. Plenty of time to do that. Just not at this moment. Anybody ever think that your memory loss is due to your age? Oh, I'm older now. I can't do that. I can't remember like I used to. Nuh-uh. According to the experts, the medical field, memory loss as we age is due to exercising your brain less. Brainless. Anyway, you understand what I'm saying. These are interesting little facts. In other words, you need to exercise your brain more. The neurons that are in your brain, they are so important as they interconnect that they can bring memories, more than one memory, together at once. That's fascinating. How we are so fearfully and wonderfully made. How God has created us. Truth is not relative. Truth is absolute. Truth does not change with culture, nor society, nor because some godless leader says that's not true. Let me tell you something, truth does not change. Truth is embodied in the person of Jesus Christ. He said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. Jesus is the same yesterday, today, and forever. Truth does not change. Thy word is truth. God's word is truth. The word of God is our compass. The word of God is our guide. And if you do not have the compass and guide in your life, you're going to lose direction for your life. Many, many times, the word of God tells us to remember. I'm going to just give you a few examples. And I'm going to turn to them very quickly. You do not need to turn there. At least I think I'm going to turn to them very quickly. In John chapter 15 and verse 21, Jesus said, but all these things will they do unto you for my name's sake, because they know not him that sent me. Oh, I've got the wrong verse of scripture. Wouldn't you know it? Don't turn there. It's the verse before that. Two verses. Verse 20. Remember the word that I said unto you. The servant is not greater than his Lord. If they have persecuted me, they will persecute you. If they have kept my saying, they will keep yours also. Jesus had said this before, therefore he says it again. And when he says it again, he says, remember the word which I have spoken unto you. In other words, it is important from Jesus' perspective that we need to be put into remembrance some things that we've already heard. Listen to what it says over in 2 Timothy. In chapter 2, in 2 Timothy chapter 2, and down in verse 8. 2 Timothy 2 and verse 8, Paul is writing to Timothy and he says, remember that Jesus Christ of the seed of David was raised from the dead according to my gospel. Now, who is Paul writing to? He's writing to Timothy. Timothy's a pastor. Do you think Timothy does not know that? Yes, he knows that. He's heard that. He believes that. But you know what? He needs to be reminded of that just like you and I. Remember that Jesus Christ of the seed of David was raised from the dead according to my gospel. There are some things that we need to be put into remembrance about. You can look in 1 Corinthians chapter 4 and verse 17. And 1 Corinthians chapter 15 and verse 1 reminds us of the gospel. 2 Peter in the book that we're in, all the way in chapter 3 and verse 1, it says, the second epistle, beloved, I now write unto you, in both which I stir up your pure minds by way of remembrance. In other words, I'm going to say some things that you already know. And you know what? You're going to hear it again. Repetition is a key to learning, but it's also a key to remembering. We need to be reminded of our Lord suffering, bleeding, and dying upon the cross. We need to be put into remembrance of that. I want you to notice what Peter says. He puts an emphasis concerning the end of his life. He says, yea, I think it meet. In other words, this is the right thing to do. As long as I am in this tabernacle, to stir you up by putting you in remembrance. Peter likens his body to a tabernacle or a tent. He says, as long as I'm in this tent, it's my responsibility to put you in remembrance. What Peter is saying, he says in the very next verse, knowing that shortly I must put off this tabernacle, I've got to put this temple or tent down, even as our Lord Jesus Christ has showed me. Peter is saying his life is short and it's coming to an end. He's at the end of his life. And here's what he's emphasizing. If you knew your life was short, and let me tell you, every one of our lives in here is short, what's your emphasis on? Peter's emphasis is the truth. The truth they've already heard, and emphasizing the truth once again. I want you to notice this word tabernacle. It is the word tent. It's literally what it means. The Greek word, I thought it was kind of interesting, the little Greek word, skinoma. Sounds like skins. That's what they made tents out of. You remember, Paul was a tent maker. You know what? If you have a tent, does anybody have a tent from about 20 years ago? Just curious. What kind of condition is that tent? Yours is good. I'm amazed. Kept it in good condition. Brother Steve, you need to take care of that tent better. You know what happens if you use that tent a lot? Eventually it wears, don't it? You might need a patch in it. There comes a point, eventually that tent is going to be done away with. Now you can see why Peter and Paul both refer to our bodies as tents. Does anybody feel like their body's wearing down? Does anybody ever get a shot in the knee? Brother Wayne's really suffering over there from his soreness. It'll get worse tomorrow. Does anybody ever have any aches of the joints? Does anybody have any tests that are being run? Anybody have any doctor's appointments? Anybody have any vision problems? Where'd they go? This tent, this body is wearing down. And that's what Peter's saying. And he's saying this tent has got to be laid aside at some point. Paul uses the exact same language. If you look back in 2 Corinthians chapter 5. In 2 Corinthians chapter 5 and down in verse 1. Paul says, for we know that if our earthly house of this tabernacle, the tent. If our earthly house of this tent were dissolved, we have a building of God, a house not made with hands, eternal in the heavens. Your body's wearing down, but if you're a child of God, let me tell you something, you've got a house not made with hands, a building of God. Paul says, for in this we groan. Anybody get out of bed this morning groaning? Brother Wayne did, I know. Sister Jana did, I know. Anybody else groan this morning when you got up out of bed? Ugh. Some are still in bed because their spouse didn't want to bother that groaning bear. For in this we groan, earnestly desiring to be clothed upon with our house, which is from heaven. God's word promises us a better temple, a better tent, a better dwelling. If so being, that being clothed, we shall not be found naked. For we that are in this tabernacle or tent, we do groan, being burdened, not for that we would be unclothed, but clothed upon, that mortality might be swallowed up of life. Now he that has worked us for that selfsame thing is God, who also hath given unto us the earnest of the Spirit. Therefore we are always confident, knowing this, while we're at home in the body, while we're at home in this old tent, we're absent from the Lord. For we walk by faith, not by sight. We're confident, I say, and willing rather to be absent from the body and to be present with the Lord. Let me tell you something. When Steve Wainwright's tent lays down, don't you weep for that tent. Ain't no life in that tent. This body's just going to lay there. It's dead. It's gone. I'm gone too. And I'm not there. I'll be present with the Lord. And so is every child of God. They will be in the very presence of God when they lay this body down. What Peter does, he puts the emphasis upon that which is eternal. The tent is but a tabernacle, or the body is just but a tent or a tabernacle for your soul. It will become unusable one day. It's not meant to be permanent. Knowing Peter's life was going to end, he knew that. It affected how he lived. It is good that we think on the brevity of life. Did y'all notice on the birthdays up here? Not the ones having birthdays. I know that's what all Brother Roger focused on, was my name there. Shame on you. But did you notice the verse of Scripture up there? Lord, teach us to number our days, that we may apply our hearts toward wisdom. Peter was kingdom conscious. He had priorities concerning the kingdom of Christ. And therefore, he wanted to put them into remembrance. He says, knowing that shortly I must put off this my tabernacle, even as our Lord Jesus Christ hath showed me. You find that in John 21, he told him that, how somebody was going to lead him by the hand. He's at that point in his age, and he's about to be martyred. He says, moreover, I will endeavor that you may be able, after my decease, to have these things always in remembrance. That verse of Scripture, Peter said, chapter 3 and 1 and 2, he says, this second epistle, beloved, now I write unto you, in both which I stir up your pure minds by way of remembrance, that you may be mindful of the words which were spoken before by the holy prophets and of the commandments of us, the apostles of our Lord and Savior. In other words, he continues to say, I'm reminding you of what's been said. I'm reminding you of what's been said. In other words, you need to get in the Word of God. You don't need to just come to church, but you need to be in the Word of God. I tell you, you need to be in church every time the doors are open. Uh-oh. Every time the doors are open, you need to be in church. You need to hear the Word of God. You need to remember the words that our Lord said, that His apostles said, that His prophets said. You need to get in the Word of God. That's what Peter's focus is here. He says, I want you to notice this word, that you may be able after my decease. What does it mean to be deceased? You know, we go to a funeral and we see the deceased. What does the deceased mean? You know, very simply, if you were looking up in a Webster's dictionary, deceased would mean the life is left. There's no longer life there in the body. That's what Webster's dictionary defines decease. Listen to this word Peter uses as far as the Greek terminology, exodon. Now, what is Peter saying here? He says, after my exodus, is literally what he's saying. In other words, he's about to exit out of life as we know it. And he's about to enter into the very presence of the Lord Jesus Christ. Peter is exiting. He is deceasing, you might say. But he wants the Word of God to have a long-lasting effect. You want to leave a legacy in your life? Let me tell you, the legacy you need to leave in your life is sharing the Word of God with others. I was talking to my neighbor yesterday, I think it was, talking about my birthday and how I'm getting older and how, you know, he said, well, you know, y'all do a lot of things to help a lot of people out. People will remember you after you're dead and gone. We're like, only for about a generation. And you know what? If the Lord tarries, they'll forget me after that. But you know what has a lasting effect? It's the Word of God. You sharing the Word of God to the lives of others. This old body is temporary, but the truth of God endures forever. You need to put people in remembrance to the truth of the Word of God. I'll ask you a question. In your life, are you emphasizing the temporal or the eternal? Where is your investment at? Are you investing in makeup? Oh, y'all found my secret. thing. I don't wake up. Don't go there. Are you investing in your home, your house, clothes? These things are going to pass away. Are you investing in lives, in souls, in people? Those things are eternal. We live in a day and time where people need the Lord. We've got a generation that's coming up. It's like in the book of Judges, they know not the Lord. You know why? Because of the undermining of the Word of God that's been going on for decades. Our government is undermining the Word of God. Let me tell you something. If you don't see it, you need to do as a funeral director told me one time, you need to wake up and smell the coffee. I woke up quick and smelt the coffee when he was alluding to what I was thinking he was alluding to. Shocking. Let me tell you, there are things going on in our world that's just undermining the Word of God. If we as believers do not stand, let me tell you something, the foundations would be destroyed. May God give us grace to do as Peter says, be established, be strengthened. Be strengthened in the truth of God's Word. This passage of Scripture is for believers mainly. But if you have never professed Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, we're going to give a hymn of invitation that you would surrender your life to Him, that you would publicly profess Him, that He is Lord of your life. You believe He died on the cross for your sins. You surrender your life to Him. If you're a child of God or you profess to know Christ and you're not living for the Lord, let me tell you, this invitation's for you to make things right with the Lord. Because I'm going to tell you this, if you're a believer and you're not walking with the Lord, you're one of the most miserable creatures on this face of this earth. If you're a child of God, you need to be walking with the Lord. If you're a child of God and you're walking with the Lord, what are you emphasizing in your life? What is of utmost importance? What do others see in your life that you're emphasizing is most important? Is it you? Is it your name? May others see Christ in us. Brother Josh is going to be up front here to receive anyone. If you have questions, concerns, you need someone to pray with you. If you need to make things right with the Lord, if you need to make it public, that's what an invitation's for. Let's stand and go to the Lord in prayer. Father, we thank you for your word. We thank you for your Spirit that makes your word alive and powerful. And like a two-edged sword in his hand, he pierces right to our hearts, hitting us right in the quick. Lord, there's nothing I can do to change a heart, to change a life, to change the path a person is walking down. But we believe that your gospel is the power unto salvation. Lord, we believe that with all of our heart. We believe that you can change a sinner's heart and his whole life becomes different, his whole outlook, his whole perspective. Lord, we pray that you would change hearts. We ask that you draw your children to yourself. Help us desire to walk close to you. We'll be careful to give you the glory for all that's said and done for Christ's sake. Amen. We're going to sing, Turn Your Eyes Upon Jesus.